this is Jerry Stiller. You are listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Where are my keys? Anybody see my keys? Who took my keys?
Is radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
Should be about 5 a.m. and you're listening to all Bye Bye Andrew. Hello, murderous religious fanatics who have an entire country to oppress. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things here, and you can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com, where you can look around at things. And when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest back of the book program links. Click on that and you'll get to the webpage for tonight's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. This is our 55th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Thursday and Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program just can't be as up-to-date as a live program. However, this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And a big story of the world in the past fortnight is we are back down to 112 followers. We'd gotten up to 113. We'd stayed there for a while, and then somebody left, and now we're down to 112. Oh, my, oh, my. And I will note here in a program note, in 2 weeks on our September 4th program, we'll be celebrating the 35th anniversary of this radio program. And I'll point out, we are weekly. We were just off last week for a fundraising special, so we haven't been on for 2 weeks. And we will be on next week, and the week after that will be the 35th anniversary special of this program. The next public WBAI LSB meeting is scheduled to be held on Wednesday, September 8th, 2021 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. And the Pacifica elections are going on right now, and these are elections for the local station boards, and BAI has a local station board, obviously, and we have elections going on for that. I can't say too much about that because we're not allowed to. However, I can note that voting has already started, so you should have gotten a ballot either in the mail or an email. If you didn't, you need to contact people at Pacifica. You can go to elections.pacifica.org and you'll find something up there to request a ballot if you haven't gotten one. And the election ends on October 15th. And I hope a lot of you will vote. And I am only allowed to say that you should start doing your research and figure out who would be best for you to vote for. And that would be a good idea. See who's there. See for whom you want to vote. And, you know, realize there are some crazy people running for this elected office here in New York. And there are some good people. And there are some people who are dedicated to doing bad things. So you got to be careful. You know, you can look around and figure it out. All right. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 210,426,282 on Friday, and global deaths reached 4,409,707. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 37,371,011, and the death toll in America was 625,760. So, 10,322 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 2 weeks ago. That's 5,161 people per week. That death rate has gone back up significantly in this past fortnight, and we're seeing all sorts of dire things happening in places as the unvaccinated start getting sick and dying. And so, yeah, 5,161. It had been under 2,000 for a while, but it's popped back up, and that's because of the Delta variant and its ability to really get out there and infect people. And it may also be worse when you get it. You may be more likely to die of it. And then there's the long haul stuff, which is you don't die, but you have permanent sort of disability of some kind. Sometimes your lungs are messed up for life. Anyway, the disease is still ravaging areas where vaccination rates are low. The South and other Trump country areas continue to lag in vaccinations. Some southern states report that 100% of their ICU beds are taken. More than 99% of COVID-19 deaths are among those who have not been vaccinated. Interestingly, the vaccination rate has also jumped in this past fortnight. Apparently, a whole lot of the unvaccinated are getting vaccinated now that they're seeing other unvaccinated people getting seriously ill and in some cases dying. These will be the people who've been called, quote, vaccine hesitant, unquote, but they haven't been wildly anti-vaccine. I guess these are people who don't go around holding demonstrations and demanding that vaccines not be given out or that places not require that you get vaccinated or show proof of vaccination. And this will also include probably anti-maskers who also demonstrate in all of that and who have been involved in cases of like ripping masks off people and assaulting people because they're wearing masks. Really? God damn. About 18% of adult Americans are hard and fast against getting vaccinated. But a whole lot more than 18% of Americans haven't been vaccinated yet. And that's a problem. And in the meantime, breakthrough infections in fully vaccinated people, they still only account for about 0.1% of the hospitalizations. And by the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. And again, this was all mostly preventable. And also, we should note that people getting it, three high-profile breakthrough cases have shown up in the past week or so. Three senators. John Hickenlooper, Democrat of Colorado, Angus King, Independent of Maine, and Roger Wicker, Republican of Mississippi, have all been vaccinated against the virus, and they're dealing with breakthrough cases, and they're staying home, and they're infected, they're testing positive, but they don't appear to be actually sick, so they're asymptomatic, apparently, or maybe only mildly symptomatic. So there are three high-profile cases of breakthroughs happening, but again, it's only about 0.1% of the hospitalizations that are breakthroughs. And we have more instances of people denouncing vaccines and mask wearing and then dying of COVID-19. And we also have some other awful stuff happening. And there's a whole lot of controversy because various places are demanding that you show your vaccine card to show that you've been vaccinated against COVID-19. And places like, Florida have outlawed mandates that say you can't get into a place without the vaccination proof and stuff like that. And you don't have to have a mask mandate. And they do this in Texas, too. Oh, is it a big coincidence that places in the South like Texas and Florida and Arkansas and Alabama are the main places where COVID-19 is going nuts and where in one entire state there isn't a single ICU bed left? They're all occupied by people with COVID-19 to the point where one guy got a heart attack and he couldn't find a hospital to go to because they were all jammed up with COVID-19 people. And those people are unvaccinated and probably also people who say, I don't have to get vaccinated. I don't have to wear a mask. You know, and then they cite their constitutional rights. And so some places require the vaccination card to get in. I think that's what they're going to do here in New York. And there are these people demonstrating against it and saying, no, these are our rights. It's our right to just go there when we want to. And one of the late night comedians pointed something out. Are these people also going to start protesting, having demonstrations outside various stores that have a sign that says no shirt, no shoes, no service? Because that's the same thing. If you don't wear a shirt, if you're walking around barefoot, no, we don't want you in our store. This is especially true of places where people eat, because that ain't the most sanitary way to be in a place where people are eating. What happens if one of these anti-vaxxer cuckoos shows up bare-ass and demands to be let in? Is he also exercising his right to not have to wear any clothing, not have to wear shoes to get into the place? They haven't done a whole lot of demonstrations on this issue in the past, but now they are, probably largely because the politicians are starting to push on it, and the politicians push on this stuff in self-defense because people like Trump and DeSantis in Florida and, Governor Abbott of Texas, who has it, these people are saying, no, we don't have any mandates, we're against mandates. Meanwhile, all these kids are going to go to school very soon. I don't know, are we going to end up with a whole lot of very sick little children? Kid goes into kindergarten, the prospect of spreading it among kindergarten children is pretty tremendous because kindergarten children don't generally focus a whole lot. In places where there's no mask mandate or anything, the kids are going to interact the way they always do. And if one of them has a germ, it spreads throughout. And Delta variant of COVID-19, we're now told, is more infectious than chickenpox. I know from my time before there was a chickenpox vaccine that chickenpox would clear out about a third of the classroom every week. And so one kid would be out of school and, little Johnny got chickenpox. Oh, so the teacher now knows, okay, one of them got chickenpox, it's here. And that would take out within days, a third of the class is out with chickenpox. And then after a little while, Johnny and some of the others start coming back. And then the second third, and basically everybody got chickenpox. Well, that's going to be how COVID-19 is going to work among these small children, especially like the kindergarten kids in first and second grade, and they're going to spread it to each other pretty damned easily. Meanwhile, some people are trying to make a buck on this. They say, you have to have a vaccine card, so we'll sell them. And there's apparently some mathematical formula that some people come up with that paying money for a fake vaccine card is a better deal than getting a free vaccine shot. And things have happened, like in Tennessee, I believe it was, the federal authorities seized a whole bunch of fake vaccine cards that had come in from China, and they were set to be sent farther south. They noticed things that, well, one, vaccination cards coming from China. That's kind of suspicious all in and of itself, because the CDC knows how to get stuff printed in America. And two, they had various things like bad misspellings and stuff like that, which if you've ever had to deal on eBay with vendors from the so-called People's Republic of China, you notice that not all of these guys speak perfect English, and you sometimes have to interpret things in their English and figure out what they're saying. And that's what's happening here. You see misspellings. The grammar is wrong. They use the complete wrong word in places. One of the things the feds also found was that the Spanish translation, which is on the vaccination card, is really screwed up. So all of these things say, yeah, these are all screwed up here. Although apparently they're able to get the CDC logo perfect. It's perfectly correct looking on these cards, and probably some people will look at these and say, oh, there's that logo, and say, okay, and let people in. We also have people who are selling these things one at a time here in America on TV. They went to one guy and they said, I want 6 vaccination cards. And he said, okay. And they found him online. They said they wanted 6. He said, okay. They set a place to meet up. They went, they met up, and they said, we want 6 of these. And he says, okay, that's $300. And they give him the $300. The guy gives the reporter the vaccination cards. And then the reporter goes and starts talking to him. So, what are you doing here? I'm a reporter and all of this. And the guy says, eh, well, we're making money. It's okay. He has no qualms about this whatsoever. Isn't even worried that he's on a nationally syndicated TV show doing something very illegal. I'm not sure, but this may rise up to the level of a felony. I'm not sure. So we have people willing to spend between $50 and a couple of $100 each for a vaccination card and use that to get places instead of just getting a vaccination. And by the way, this guy who was selling it, several of them for $300, he had a relative who worked in a hospital who grabbed a bunch of them, gave them to him to sell. Oh man, that guy needs to go to jail. His relative needs to go to jail and lose their job. Oh, these people doing these terrible things. So yeah, it's bizarre. This is one of those bizarre things, and I think the fake vaccination card scams are something that's going to be remembered years and years from now as a testament to how stupid human beings can be. And yeah, I think years from now, people are going to be looking at this and saying, good grief, people can be so stupid. And I think a lot of the anti-vaxxers won't be among those who are going to be looking at things in the future. A bunch will, but we know the whole bunch won't, including the ones who are still hollering it's all a hoax as they die. I hope everybody who's listening gets vaccinated and wears a mask. There you go. So really, take care of yourselves. We recommend people get vaccinated. And in fact, the booster dose is getting prescribed now, and we get ours later on. I would get mine in early November, and Pickles will get hers in mid-December, right?
I believe so, yes. If they get approved, it looks like this will be approved.
They're going to approve them. And this gives you a lot more immunity. So we're going to go for ours as soon as we can get them. I really urge all our listeners to get vaccinated. And if you haven't been vaccinated yet, still, you should go get vaccinated, wear a mask, whether you're vaccinated or not, and be careful, because this damn thing is a real killer. And in more not at all good news, the world is seeing more climate crisis stuff going on. There are more floods. People are dying in floods. They're happening in America. They're happening in Turkey. They're happening in Europe. They're happening all over the world with these floods going on, because suddenly you're getting all this rain. And then we have droughts going on in other places, and they're really getting killed from these droughts. And the droughts are helping to make the wildfires worse, because everything dries out, and once you get all that plant life sticking up above the ground and it's dry, doesn't take much to light it up, especially if the drought has been ongoing for a little while. Things get really badly off. And so the wildfires are still going wild, and out in California, they're still having gigantic record-setting fires out there. And Pickles and I are sort of a little bit puzzled. Why are TV news reports and weather reports not saying that bad air quality is the result of smoke from the wildfires? We've seen this. Now, we're not getting it right now, but before our break 2 weeks ago, we were seeing this. Of they would report it, oh, yeah, and there's air quality isn't so hot. And still, we were seeing that the air quality was diminished because of the wildfire, the jet stream grabbing the wildfire smoke and bringing it over here. And they're not talking about that on TV. And we're wondering about that. Why are these TV news people and TV weather reporters not saying, yeah, the smoke, the bad air we're getting is the result of wildfires out west that are being wafted over to us? The smoke is coming in here from those wildfires. I just don't know why there seems to be an embargo on stating that fact on TV.
Well, I watched three different weather people, and one of them did mention it in passing, so the other day. One thing is that the smoke is at different levels. So if it's up high enough, it will not impact our breathing here down on the ground. And we could have just ozone from, you know, hot air, humidity, and the ozone gets trapped down at ground level. And that's, or the particulate matter, and that's the bad air causing the air alert to happen. But yes, I think it's probably they have to wrap their minds around that this is not an exceptional thing anymore, that they should be including a smoke report as part of the weather.
And I will note that this is our last midsummer program. That's midsummer for astronomers, not midsummer for farmers. For farmers, midsummer is the summer solstice in June. However, for astronomers, summer goes from the summer solstice until the autumnal equinox. So we're talking astronomy, not farming here. And so this is our last midsummer program. And late summer starts this Sunday. That's tomorrow, August 22nd at 6:32 a.m. Eastern Time. So we'll be in late summer, which is an interesting time of year, I think. So we've had various political events going on in this past fortnight. Among others, Governor Cuomo resigned, as we all know, and next Tuesday he'll be gone. And Kathy Hochul will be the first female governor of the state of New York. And we look forward to seeing what she's going to do. I hope she's good. I hope she's not a crumb bum or something like that. But yeah, so a political change there, and it is still midsummer at this point in time, and we are still a non-commercial, listener-sponsored radio station, and so we gotta beg you for stuff. However, we want to show you how things could be otherwise, and also recognize that it is still midsummer, and so we're gonna take you back to a place I've gone to in my youth, and we're gonna play a fast commercial, and gee whiz, this is what we're not doing, because we don't raise money from this kind of thing. We gotta beg you for it.
Palisades has a ride, Palisades has a fun. Come on over, shows and dancing are free, so the parking's so cheap. Come.
I used to go to Palisades Amusement Park, and we went there any number of times when I was a kid. One time we even paid money to go into their saltwater pool. Yeah, they had a saltwater pool. I think they had a wave generator at the back of it, and you would go, and it was really not much. You know, we could go to Coney Island for free. This was just a, let's look at this thing. It was, you know, they did enough advertising, and we went. However, we can't rely on commercials here on WBAI. We have to rely on other sponsors. Those sponsors are you. Yes, you. We have to go and ask you to help fund this radio station. And we do that by asking you to get up, go to your phone, or maybe you're just laying down next to your phone. Pick up your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950, and when the call center picks up at the other end, tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And it's easy to do. They pick up, you tell them you want to become a BAI buddy, you tell them how much you would like to contribute on a monthly basis, because BAI buddy is the name of our sustaining membership here at BAI, and so you tell them how much you'd like to contribute every month, and it can be $5 a month, or $10 a month, or $15 a month, or $20 a month, something like that, or more if you want. And you tell them how much you want to do, and you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or debit card charged for that amount of money. Again, 1-212-209-2950. If you could please call that number and become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, that would be really, really good, because management came out with their numbers this past week, and we still only have two BAI buddies for Back of the Book. This isn't so great. 1-212-209-2950. And management is looking all over the place for stuff to plug in. And we have this current system where we're on regularly, but we have to pitch like this. But we're taken off the air every 6 or 7 weeks for a special. And the specials are what raise money. So, because they have these premiums on them that people seem to like. So, we are just here begging on the quality of the program, and oh boy, I hope we can get more than two people to call 1-212-209-2950 and say, yes, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. You can also call and make a one-time donation, if you please, of any amount, and we'll welcome that too. 1-212-209-2950. And you can go rolling around in a roller coaster, and you can visit the captive saltwater pool in your imagination, because Palisades Amusement Park ceased to exist decades ago, and now it's been replaced by condos. So, yeah, it has. And so, yes, 1-212-209-2950. Please don't have WBAI replaced by condos. Actually, that happened once. We used to have a church that we broadcast out of, and it got sold, and that property is now condos. They knocked down the church and they built condos. So you don't want WBAI to become condos of the air, and you'll get real commercials in there, and they won't be nearly as amusing as the old commercials we play here. 1-212-209-2950. Say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and you can tell them if you want to donate $5 a month, $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, tell them what day of the month you would like your credit card or debit card charged, and that will work out. Okay, 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. We really could use having more than just two BAI buddies for Back of the Book. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn, and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Well, of course, outside of the pandemic, the big news around the world, outside of our 112 followers on Twitter, is Afghanistan. What a mess. And Jesus Christ. First of all, I want to say the singular of a person who's from Afghanistan is Afghan. The plural is Afghans. The plural is not Afghani or Afghanis. So I've been seeing this said on TV news, and they're saying it in print all over the place. Afghani is the unit of currency of Afghanistan. It's their dollar. So an Afghani is money. You can have 10 Afghani or Afghanis, and that's 10 whatever, you know, $10 in their language. So Jesus Christ, basic things like that are being ignored by people who've gone to journalism school and have achieved high profile jobs in journalism. Shows you what can happen. Anyway, as we all know, we've been following this, and it wasn't happening on our last program 2 weeks ago, but on August 15th, the Taliban took over, and it took them something like 10 days or just a number of days to just sweep through the country. They started attacking cities, and the Afghan army just gave up. In fact, a lot of the time, the Afghan army ran away and threw away their uniforms and were nowhere to be found. So the Taliban managed to take over city after city without a shot being fired. And once this started, it just was like a snowball rolling downhill. And there was an avalanche of Taliban going through Afghanistan. They went through, and I guess after the first one or two cities where this happened, they said, hey, this is going to be easy. They're all going to run away from us now. And so they just rolled through. They didn't even have to set up and prepare to bombard or anything. They just rolled in everywhere and said, we're here, and now we're in charge again. Beware. And so this just went terribly fast, and it was awful. It happened a lot faster than we thought it would go. We thought the Afghan military would resist. We thought there would be fighting. There was almost no fighting. If anybody did fight, it was just very few, and they probably got slaughtered and nothing flat because everybody else bugged out on them. And, you know, this is terrible, terrible stuff. And The government forces just gave up. They threw away their uniforms. They tried to melt into the general population. And this is pretty bad stuff right here. And now a part of this is that in that part of the world, you have a lot of tribal people. They belong to a tribe. They don't identify with the nation state Afghanistan. They're loyal to their tribe, and they know what tribe they belong to. They know what tribe the other guy belongs to, and is all of this. The only thing that seems to be really going across all the tribes is the Taliban. And so this whole nation-building thing the United States got into almost 20 years ago was a big mistake. I think it was okay to say, yeah, Osama bin Laden is being hosted by these people, and he attacked America with his Al-Qaeda creeps. So I think it was perfectly valid to go in there and blast the hell out of his pals and hunt him down. It did take something like 11 years to hunt him down. Shows you how deeply in he was and how supportive they were of him. But finally, people went in and they shot and killed him. And they finally did that little bit of stuff. And in the meantime, they kicked ass for a lot of Taliban, which I think is just fine and dandy. But that was the good stuff to do. Nation building, that was just pie in the sky and a misunderstanding of tribal people. And this is a big mistake. It was mission creep. It was mission creep. The mission should have been find this guy, kill him and his cohorts, kill as many people associated with him, and they happen to be Taliban, that's okay. Kill as many of them as you can, and then get the hell out and let them all go back to murdering each other. I can understand the mission creep aspect of this because it rankles to see the Taliban in charge at all. The Taliban were oppressing women. And they were oppressing basically everybody. You had to adhere to their particular brand of Abu Qasim ibn Abdullah's religion. And if you didn't do what they wanted, they would beat you up or kill you. They killed lots of people just on the street. If a woman wasn't wearing the right thing, they'd beat her up with no problem. And sometimes they'd just shoot a woman. They banned women from girls from going to school above like kindergarten or something. And they shot teachers. They shot teachers. And if girls were going to like high school, they should see the draw of wanting to fight these guys and establish some sort of a democracy there where people could defend themselves against this and have a life. But apparently it just was not going to happen there. Of course, I've never been to Afghanistan. I've never been on the ground. And we're seeing now, like everybody's seeing now, that their nation building simply didn't work. The main guy, this Ghani guy, was the president, and he was crooked, and he was stealing stuff. He was corrupt and no damned good. And as soon as the Taliban writing was on the wall and the troops were bugging out, he bugged out, took his family and his ill-gotten gains, and he bugged off to some other nation state while the getting was good. And so, yeah, this is a really big mess here. And, they're saying, Biden has so badly mishandled this. Well, you got to understand that staying there forever was not an option. 20 years is a hell of a long time. It's the longest war America has ever fought. And it wasn't going well, as we see now. And so they're saying, Biden shouldn't have pulled out the way he did. Well, the fact is that Trump negotiated with the Taliban to pull the American troops out. And Trump did that. He pulled out the American troops and he said they were going to be gone by May 1st. So Biden didn't pull them out by May 1st. He let them in there a bit because they had to do a thing or two. And then he's had the military pulling out in a halfway decent way. I mean, there were only 2,500 Americans left. They couldn't have stopped all of the Taliban. They couldn't have backed up all of the Afghans who said, we have our weapons, we are an army, we're well trained, let's run away. And that's a part of what happened. I remember in Iraq, where ISIS shows up and like 800 ISIS guys face 30,000 government troops. And the government troops do the same thing they did in Afghanistan recently. They ran away. They took off their uniforms, threw them away, threw down their weapons, and tried to melt into the general population. So you can't just get people like that to go ahead and become a nation state. Doesn't happen like that. And I think, and of course, Biden kept them there until August. And he pulled out the last of the people. And even then, we only had 15,000 left last year. And that's not a lot. And so the drawdown of American troops was tremendous. And they couldn't, you know, defend everything. And if Biden had drawn out to where there were almost no troops left, whenever he did that, this would have happened. You would have seen all of the troops melting in front of the Taliban. The Taliban would have been on the march. Remember, they negotiated with Trump to have the Americans leave. They knew what was coming. They had a timetable. They got to prepare. They got to go to their operatives in each city and say, get ready. We're going to be moving, you know, at this point in time. And the time came and bang, they executed their timetable and they went for it. So, yeah, if Biden had done more of people leaving earlier, if there had been a mass exodus earlier, the government and everything else would have collapsed then. So it's happening now, and we're seeing everything collapse in Afghanistan. And, you know, people note there are more than 2,000 American dead in Afghanistan, and we're abandoning it. Well, okay, but there comes a point of those diminishing returns. There are 2,000 dead in Afghanistan. Remember, there were over 58,000 dead in Vietnam, and we left Vietnam also because it couldn't stand up. The ARVN, the Army of the Republic of Vietnam, and the nation state was called the Republic of Vietnam, just couldn't fight the NVA and the NVA regulars and the Viet Cong. They were just overwhelmed by all of these more together troops. And so they got slaughtered there. At least in Vietnam, they did fight a bit because they had a nation state on their own for a while. But, you know, this was all the same stuff we saw, 46 years ago? And I remember this, watching them trying to get people off the top of the American embassy because it was the last place. I remember seeing them choppering out people to aircraft carriers and then shoving the perfectly good helicopters that had just landed, shoving them off the flight deck into the ocean because they had to make room for another chopper to come in with more people on it. Yeah, this is the way big nation states can waste a lot of money. So, yeah, so 58,000 dead in Vietnam, some of whom I knew, and, 2,000 dead in Afghanistan. Now, I'm not saying we should equate on the basis of those numbers, but this is not unprecedented. And the veterans of Afghanistan, they shouldn't feel bad for themselves. There were policy decisions made, just as there were policy decisions made in Vietnam that were stupid and ill-informed, and people who knew better kept going. We have the Pentagon Papers. We have the Pentagon Papers where it was laid out. It was, you know, for posterity. For posterity, they wanted to lay out what was going on and how they knew. They knew that this war in Vietnam could not be won. And it's in great detail. And it's the Pentagon Papers aren't a tiny read. And it's very, very detailed. And Secretary of Defense McNamara was in charge of it. So you had the highest levels of the government of the United States knowing for certain that the Vietnam War could not be won. And they were doing this a couple of years before the big buildup, before Lyndon Baines Johnson had the big buildup in Vietnam. And that's when they got me. And that was being done then. And when we were in Vietnam, when I was there, we all knew this. Well, not all. Some people were just blindly, we're going to win. We never lost a war. Yeah, well, what's in the past does not necessarily predict the future. And we knew that we weren't winning any kind of a war. We were fighting this bunch, fighting that bunch, and it was just these things pop up, we fight. Things pop up, we fight. We gain territory. They sweep in and back and take something else. And then they attack us when we get a fixed position. And so we, the troops on the ground, a lot of us knew this war was not being won. This war in Vietnam was being lost, and there was nothing there. You weren't establishing anything with all of the bombing and the shooting and the Americans dying for it. It was just a fiasco. And it was really criminal that after they had published, after they had compiled the Pentagon Papers, they had a maximum buildup, and they kept doing it, and they kept doing it for years. We stopped sending our troops to Vietnam in 1973, years and years after the Pentagon Papers had been put together by the government. And, of course, 2 years later, the NVA and all of them swept down and took over. And the Vietnamese got completely defeated, and we have these well-known pictures of helicopters on the roof. In any event, I don't know if the troops in Afghanistan understood that this was going to fail. I mean, I couldn't tell for certain because here we are, we don't see it. People in America couldn't see what was happening in Vietnam. The people in Vietnam, the Americans in Vietnam, we could see it. We could see the monumental corruption that was going on there. And we knew this couldn't stand. And so it fell, and we were not, some of us were not surprised. But I wonder if maybe the fact that we have an all-volunteer military now is why, well, I think that the troops who had been in Afghanistan were not realizing that it was going to fall the way Vietnam fell. I wonder if the fact that there were overwhelmingly draftees like me in Vietnam who had a cynical attitude from the beginning, you know, the draftees could figure it out, and maybe the gung-ho people who joined the army and all of that, they were just too indoctrinated and they couldn't see this coming. So now we have this terrible mess of people trying to get the hell out. And, of course, just ordinary people are going to want to get the hell out because some of them are old enough to remember what the Taliban were like before. A lot of them are too young to have been around with the Taliban back in that time, and they want to get out too. And, you know, we have this I guess the thing here, the helicopters on the roof of the American embassy is the Vietnam image, and I think maybe that C-17 with all those Afghans flooding around it, running with it as it's taxiing down the runway, I think that might be the iconic image that the world will retain for America leaving Afghanistan. And some of those people, they got on the sides of the plane, and there were places that were, where he could hold on, and they held on. And I'm surprised they didn't, the plane didn't run over a whole lot of them. And some of them held on after it took off. And there's video, and in the video, they highlight two little dots as the plane is in the air. It's a couple of hundred feet in the air. Two dots, which are people falling off the plane. And the reporting is that there were four people who actually held on and fell off the plane. And one of them was a 17-year-old star soccer player. And you can imagine what it's like. He never lived under the Taliban. He was born 3 years after they were basically overthrown. And he probably had that 17-year-old attitude of being invulnerable, and he didn't want to be living under the Taliban, and he probably figured he was an athlete, he could hold on, and he didn't. He was one of the four who fell off the C-17, and that's terrible stuff. And the Taliban has held their news conferences from the presidential palace. And the Taliban say they're going to be nice now. This is Taliban 2.0. They're rebooting Taliban, and they're going to be nice to people. And so when women protested that the Taliban were back, the Taliban shot them. Other protesters are also getting shot at. Some of them are getting killed. And, of course, LGBT plus infinity people are in real danger. All of these religious fanatics target gay and lesbian people. And the Taliban are going to impose Sharia law, and that provides for the death penalty for what they call zina, which is the word they have for adultery. And according to a report released by the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Association World, consensual same-sex sexual acts can be interpreted as a field that the gay men should be crushed to death by toppling walls onto them. And I don't think this guy was Taliban. I think he was part of their government. So there's a general awful attitude towards gay people or LGBT plus infinity people. And, you know, the Taliban will have no problem murdering gay people all over Afghanistan. One gay male Afghan named Abdul is quoted as saying, quote, "They will kill all of them on the spot," unquote. And he is personally very concerned for himself and his lover. And the group Rainbow Railroad, a nonprofit that works with LGBT plus infinity people in need, issued a statement that said, quote, "So far in 2021, we have received 50 requests for help originating in Afghanistan, and we anticipate an uptick in requests due to the deteriorating security situation that threatens the safety of LGBTQI plus people," unquote. And the group's executive director, Kimali Powell, said, quote, "LGBTQ organizing is really limited in Afghanistan for multiple reasons, including Afghanistan being in a perpetual state of war and the criminalizing of consensual same-sex conduct," unquote. And I'm hearing variously on news reports that America spent $1 trillion or $2 trillion in the 20-year war in Afghanistan. So, boy, oh boy, we spent a lot of money on that. And also, huge amounts of equipment was given to the Afghan military. All of that military equipment, which we, the taxpayers, paid for, is now in the hands of the Taliban. They are better armed than ever. And now they even have an Air Force. This is terrible, terrible, stuff. And Pickles of the North was able to catch Biden's speech on Friday. And how did it go, my dear?
Well, it was not long, and he did take questions from some reporters. And basically, he's saying, yes, he stands by what's happening, pulling the troops out. They're going to try as hard as they can to get every American and all the people who helped from Afghanistan to get them all out. They're working with NATO. They're trying to help each other pull people out of there. And I believe at this point, the U.S. has gotten 18,000 people out, and a number of them, I think like 3,000, and happened before August 14th, some of them in July, I guess. So, and they're just going to stay for as long as it takes, it sounds like.
On the other hand, the airport is surrounded, so I don't know, this could get messy. Thank you, my dear. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. We'll be back here next week, and again, 2 weeks from now will be our 35th anniversary program. What's coming up later on, my dear?
Well, coming up next is the Ralph Nader Show. And after that, at 7, according to the VAI schedule, a special. According to the general manager's schedule, Hour of the Wolf. Folks.
Hour of the Wolf is Jim Freund's program, all about science fiction stuff. All right, thanks a hell of a lot for listening. Midsummer's about to end, but you can enjoy late summer and look out the window at it. And if you go out, wear a mask and be careful. And above all, remember what that really glad he's not hanging around in a place where the Taliban are terrorizing everybody, Dormouse said.
Winding your way down a Baker Street, light in your head and dead on your feet, well
on WBAI Playhouse. Tune in for Arthur Miller's The Price. It's a personal story about sacrifice, choices, and that road not taken.
You were even the better student. That's a real debt. He ought to be made to face it. He could never have finished medical school if you hadn't taken care of Pop. I mean, we ought to start talking the way people talk. There could be some real money here.
I doubt that.
The Price exposes old family resentments and the tragic flaws of the American dream.
I've been perfectly open with you, Victor.
I don't think you have.
Why? What do you think I've been
saying? Well, you say what you said a few minutes ago.
Why, what did I say?
What a pity it was that I didn't go on with science.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, Walter, come on.
But I feel that. I've always felt that.
There used to be a man in that chair, Walter, staring into space. Don't you remember that?
That's the L.A. Theater Works production of The Price by Arthur Miller. It stars Richard Dreyfuss, Amy Irving, and Harris Yulin. Saturday, April 21st, 8 to 10 p.m., WBAI Playhouse, on listener-sponsored non-commercial WBAI New York.
This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels. The Institute of the Black World 21st Century's Black Family Summit proudly announces the Community Cares Listening Line for Black first responders and essential workers. We're here and we're listening. The Community Cares Listening Line is a free, confidential service staffed with responsive volunteers who can provide emotional support and share information with our callers. If you're feeling anxious, afraid, distressed, burdened, or overwhelmed by a range of emotions, please call the Community Cares Listening Line at 877-719-1117. That's 877-719-1117.
I wear a mask for my fellow New Yorkers.
My mama, who's a healthcare worker.
Nurses and doctors.
For my father.
For the marginalized communities who don't have access to adequate healthcare.
For my children.
My community.
Essential workers.
Transit workers.
The immunocompromised.
I wear a mask so we can get back to work.
Go to school. Share a meal.
See a movie.
Hug my friends.
Dance together.
Go to the theater.
See our families.
Continue to show support.
Take care of each other.
Save lives.
Stay strong.
This is Sonny God Diavore. You are listening to 99.5 FM. WBAR in